Good morning and welcome to Tasmanian Turf Talk, your radio guide to today's Thoroughbred meeting with Colin McNiff and Greg Mansfield, proudly supported by Tas Racing.
Tasmanian Thoroughbred and also Harness Racing Edge. We're talking Harness Racing a little later in the morning, but we had a big TED event program in Hobart yesterday, dominated by the Bruntons, Dave and Scott Brunton, trained half the card. They had five winners there yesterday, kicked off proceedings very well with the first three winners on the program, and they had a couple of nice horses that we saw for the first time, and they looked like their strong hand will continue. They'll wrap up the trainers premiership once again down here in Tasmania. Barry Campbell also trained a winning double, continued his great run that he's been having with the two-year-olds this season, so Barry Campbell doing nicely. On the jockey front, David Perez, who's been riding so well since he's teamed up with the Bruntons in recent times, he kicks home three winners. Anthony Darmanin rode a winning double, and Chantel Willis rode a winning double also, and we'll be having a chat to Chantel in just a few moments. It was a day that started out on a slow seven, but with persistent rain, we finished up on a heavy 10. In fact, there was a little bit of snow about on Mount Wellington yesterday, and I can confirm too, there's a little bit of snow about Mount Wellington this morning too, so very chilly conditions in Hobart yesterday and very chilly conditions overnight. So 10 events on the program yesterday, and we'll have a look at that meeting in just a moment. As I say, good morning, Greg Mansfield.
Good morning, Colin. Yes, it might only be the middle of autumn, but it was certainly winter racing, wasn't it? Temperature-wise and down to a heavy 10, so we can start building that little file that we keep of horses that can and can't handle those sort of tracks.
Well, we didn't think Aaron Zano handled it, but she got through the heavy 10 without any problems whatsoever.
She was one we can put in the positive file, but I reckon we could find probably a dozen or so that we'll put a big query next time we see them on that sort of going.
That's true. All right, and joining us is one of the riders who kicked home a winning double yesterday, and that was apprentice jockey Chantel Willis. Morning, Chantel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. And thanks for joining us this morning. Nice way to have a winning double yesterday, just to keep your winning strike rate ticking along.
That was fantastic. You know, I was really happy that I got the opportunity to get on the horses that I was on yesterday, and, yeah, just so thankful.
That was a nice winner in the second race. Great delight. It's trained by the Bruntons, but raced in partnership by Marie Wells and Julie Brunton. Of course, Marie is the wife of Leon Wells, who you're indentured to.
Yes, that's right. A little bit of pressure, but no, it was really good. It had the race run as soon as it jumped, really. You know, it was always travelling, and it was a really nice win, considering it's never really won in the wet either, so... Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, look, that horse was, I think it had the race won a long way from home, didn't it? You had it settled just in fourth spot behind the leaders, and it always looked to have them covered, and when you hooked it out at the top of the straight, put the issue beyond doubt pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's it. It was just a moment of, you know, asking it to go. Like, it was just always ready to, you know, go through its gear, so that was really good.
And your second winner of the day came on Income Blonde in a maiden class one. This was over 1,600 metres and an all-the-way win, and again, you put the issue beyond doubt at the top of the straight, but mind you, they probably got a little closer to you at the finish than you may have thought.
Yeah, no, it was that last 100, it sort of really sort of slowed up, but during the run, it was really hard on the bridle. I've ridden it a couple of times before, and we've ridden it behind, and it's never really travelled, so... it was really good to see it travel through the wet like that, and in front, it was just, yeah, it was fantastic.
Have you ridden a double before?
Yeah, I did a couple of weeks ago, I think in Launceston,
Hostile,
and I think it was 3G's Opera.
Status Seeker was a nice run in the last two, where you ran third on that, and it hit the line really nicely.
Yeah, it did. It's probably looking for probably 1,600, but, yeah, no, it's going really good. Kenny's sort of going really well at the moment.
Well, you're going really well now, too. How many winners in total for you?
I think that brings me up to about 18.
So. Okay, so it won't be too long before the 3-kilogram claim goes. How are you enjoying being an apprentice jockey?
Oh, it's fantastic. I don't think there's a much better job out there, but, yeah, I'm just so lucky. I've got people like Leon guiding me through it all the time, you know. Well,
Leon, of course, has a wonderful reputation as a master of apprentices, and he's got you coming along very nicely. Chantel, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into racing?
Well, it started off, I actually did year 11 and 12, and I actually decided to take a gap year. I was going to go proceed on to uni, and I always had a quite a big interest in horses, so I decided just to mess around with racehorses for a year, and I really haven't looked back since.
Okay. So, and what about weight? Is that an issue for you?
Not really. I walk around at about 51, 52, so for the minimum, you know, the most I'll probably have to lose is probably a kilo, so yeah, that's easy.
So did you ride as a youngster in pony club or something?
I started riding when I was about 12. I just used to lease a pony at a riding school and just used to mess around there. I never did pony club as such, but I just rode around and bombed on the ponies, really, so, yeah.
And how did you come to be with Leon?
I did work experience. I think we're going back probably when I was in high school, so quite a few years back. And yeah, it was a long journey, really, because I went over to WA first, and when I took my gap year, and then I decided to move back to Tassie, and he was my first point of call. So and then we went back there, and that's just where I've stayed since. And very good move.
Yeah, very happy it sounds that way, and you're riding very well. Greg, one of the most improving young apprentices in the state, Chantel.
Absolutely, Colin. And Chantel, I'm interested to know, we've already mentioned that you rode one of your winners yesterday for the Bruntons, and you're getting rides for other stables. How do you get your rides? Does Leon Wells help you out in that regard, or do you ring up yourself, or do you just wait for the phone to ring?
I usually ring up myself, but Leon will help me out where he can see an opportunity, but I usually manage most of it myself, but yeah, well, it's a combined effort, really.
It's a pretty cutthroat business, as you would have learned already, and I suppose you don't have to be, you can't be scared ringing up and asking for a ride that someone else has been on previously. You've got to look after your own interests.
That's it, yeah. Well, someone's just going to ring up for your ride as well next week. It's an up and down game all the time, but you've just got to be on top of it.
Very true. And I noticed when Ziggy Carr left the state recently, she did make mention of the fact that she was looking forward to the apprentice school over in South Australia. What's the situation in Tasmania with the apprentices and the learning opportunities? Do we have an apprentice school here that you go to regularly?
Yeah, we do. It's definitely improved recently. We've been doing fitness sessions and whatnot, and I think they're planning a trip over to Melbourne to have a look at how it all works over there. So no, it's good, and they occasionally bring in some of the senior jocks to have a chat to us, and yeah, it's been going good.
That leads me to another question, actually, and who have been your mentors? Obviously, you're with Leon Wells, who everyone in Tasmania knows is the master trainer of apprentices. He's had Craig Newitt, Glenn Smith, and many others. Do you get any advice from other senior jockeys at all?
Not so much the senior jockeys, but more so Dean Wells. He helps me out a lot with my rides. Occasionally I'll talk to someone like Kelvin or maybe Stephen Maskill. He's rang me up a couple of times. So yeah, you do get in contact with a couple of them, but there's no, Leon's usually my main point of call.
Well, as we all know, Colin, don't we, that Dean Wells would have been a top jockey if he'd been a little bit lighter. He's always got good advice for them when they ride his horses, and he's now a successful trainer, so I don't think you'll go too far wrong listening to him.
No, that's very true. How do you enjoy yesterday? You had difficult conditions to ride in, Chantel, with the track kept on deteriorating throughout the day, and it must have been chilly. It must have been just a little apprehensive, I suppose, about going out each and every time.
It was. I was actually wondering whether they were going to get called off halfway through. It started to look a bit dreary, but it's definitely a different experience riding on those sorts of tracks and learning, you know, what part to go on and which horses, whether they're travelling or whether they're not. You know, yeah, it's quite hard actually, but it's all learning.
So, what's a Sunday without races in Tasmania? What's that mean for you?
It's actually a day off today, so I just had a little bit of a sleep in, and I might go to the beach, or just a relaxing day for today, I think.
Well, you can relax with a smile on your face, having ridden a winning double there yesterday, and we appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Continued success, Chantel. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Chantel Willis joining us on Tasmanian Turf Talk. She rode a winning double and was very accomplished. Her ride on Great Delight yesterday was, I think, as good as you see, Greg. You'd have to rate that up there as a 8 or 9 out of 10. She just put the horse in the perfect position and hooked it out at the right time. It was a gem of a ride.
Yes, column I just wrote next to its name, Box Seat Run, and never going to get beaten. And as you said, she's with a great trainer to learn from, Leon Wells. Leon marks his apprentices very hard, and he has always had a good opinion of Chantel, so I'm sure that she'll go onwards and upwards from here on.
All right, let's take a review of this meeting from yesterday. As mentioned, 10 events on the card. We started off on a slow 7, but then went to heavy 8, heavy 9, and finished up as a heavy 10. The first of the day was taken out by Land of Dollar, the first of 5 winners for the Bruntons, and Cody Grace was aboard.
Yeah, led all the way. Reasonably convincing winner, won by a length and a half, but the horse I want to follow out of the race was the runner-up, the stablemate, actually Duran. This one was previously trained by Tony Vassell in Melbourne, was having its first start in Tasmania. It was restrained early. They obviously wanted to take a sit with it. I thought it was inclined to over-race a little bit, but ran on very nicely down the outside in the home straight. I think it's definitely one to follow.
Yeah, certainly a coming winner. I'd agree with you there, Duran, the horse to follow. Great delight. We've just spoken to Chantel. Beautiful ride. This was heavily supported. This one that's trained by the Bruntons, but raced in partnership by Julie Brunton and Marie Wells.
Yes, look, it looked the winner, didn't it? Started $2.20 favourite. I think when Scotty Brunton woke up on Thursday morning and saw these fields, he would have been rubbing his hands together with a couple of these maidens. They certainly look very shallow races, and as it turned out, he won them both. This one was just too good, won by 3 lengths. The runner-up Tire Kick is an honest horse. He's not far off a win. And the stablemate of the winner, Left Ear, was certainly probably the most interesting runner all day. Hadn't raced for almost 4 years. Mm. And he showed a bit of pace and fought on quite okay.
Yeah, it did box on particularly well. It had one trial, hadn't raced in September of 2010, so it's now an 8-year-old Left Ear. So obviously some things have gone amiss there, but as you say, it was quite a handy run there yesterday.
It was. It finished about 2.5 lengths in front of the fourth horse, so even though it was well beaten, you'd have to put it down as one that we can follow.
Third event was another maiden. It was over the 1175, and probably the most impressive winner of the day margin-wise was a horse called Moonrise, who started the $2 favourite. It was 3 in a row for the Bruntons, and the first of 3 for David Perez. It just won as it liked.
This was another one that looked a very shallow maiden, didn't it? Not many chances in this. Moonrise had run third at its only 2 starts, beaten by big margins, but significantly they were both on heavy tracks, one last time in, one this time in, and so everyone knew it was going to handle the going. And as I said, there wasn't any depth to the race. I thought the only danger was a horse called Just a Menace, who performed really well in a major 3-year-old race over the Launceston Cup Carnival, but I've put him down as one suspect in the wet. He didn't look like he was handling it to me, either that or he was in need of the run, but I think maybe it was the fact that he just didn't like the conditions, so he'll save for another day, Just a Menace.
Yeah, I think he's going to win some races. He might need a run or two, Just a Menace. Race 4 on the card, and this was Income Blonde's race. Chantel rode this. It led all the way. It was probably 4 lengths in front of the top of the straight, but did get a bit weary in the last 100.
Yeah, they were picking it up, but as you said, it always actually looked to have the race under control to me, and I thought it won well. It's been threatening to win a race, that's for sure. Digger's Dame is in the same category. It's going to win one very shortly. Ran home nicely. Georgie Catania back in the saddle yesterday. Aladoni would run on at the end of 2 miles. It was getting to the line nicely as well, and I thought Master Alfred, the fourth place getter, also ran a pretty good race. He was forced very wide on the home turn. I don't think the jockey really wanted to be there at that stage of the day. A few disappointing runs in it. Decent Deal, Ritzy Bar, don't think they handled the wet, and Dire Seas, I think we might have to sack forever.
Gigi Style took out race number 5, ridden by Jason Lyon for John Luttrell.
Nice win, very competitive in the good 2-year-old races last season, settled outside the leader, really in the run. He was probably the horse you wanted to be on a fair way from home. Vigilante, the runner-up, got home nicely. It was either slow to muster speed or deliberately eased early, one or the other. They wanted to settle back on it, and it got home well. It does race best that way. Miss Elsa was good as usual. Lazy Democracy was slow to begin, made up good ground, and I think we can say that our Casanova and Vinda are two also that we'll be very wary of on heavy 10s.
Yeah, Vinda didn't handle it at all. Calavera took out the 2-year-old Autumn Plate. This one ridden by Brendan McCool for Barry Campbell, made it 3 wins in a row. Runner-up Gigi's Golden Girl was very good too.
Yeah, Calavera, well-educated, foolproof 2-year-old. In the right spot, McCool rode it perfectly, just a little bit too good, but the horse I'd really want to follow out of that race is Gigi's Golden Girl. By design or otherwise, had to switch to the inside in the home straight. This was race 6 by that stage of the day. I really don't think he wanted to be on the inside, and battled on well, got within a length and a quarter of the winner. She's a coming, I think maybe even a coming star.
Yeah, I agree. She's a half-sister too, of course, to Gigi's Blank Flash. She just wanted to duck in, I think. I noticed David Perez changed the the whip to the left hand, but by that stage she ducked in. It was too late to do anything about it and had to stick to the inside. Probably had she got to the outside, she may have made the margin a little less.
I think she surely would have. As I said, the outside of the track was starting to be an advantage, and I don't think, as you said, it was by design that he was over there. It was just a little bit unlucky, and probably wasn't going to beat the winner at any stage, but it was a very nice effort.
Yeah, she's going to be a very good three-year-old, I think. Speaking of the outside, that's where Bag of Monkeys came in race number 7 and came right down the outside fence.
There were 6 runners in this race. 3 of them raced down the outside fence coming down the side of the track and then went to the outside fence in the home straight, and they ran 1, 2, 3. The 3 that didn't ran at the rear of the field. Bag of Monkeys, very honest horse. Prince Obama, who pulled up with some issues at his previous start, he didn't sound too good at all, but he's bounced back with a good run to finish only a half a length away. He obviously likes the wet.
Race number 8 on the card, and we saw Aaron Zano stepping out. We'd only seen her on a rain-affected track once before. That was in Launceston and didn't go a yard. I spoke with Barry Campbell, the trainer, actually, before the race. He said, I don't know, don't know. She'll either win or run 15 lengths last. Well, she stepped out and won.
Class act, too good, very smart filly. She'll go on with the job, this preparation. Izzy Bayeva, so we know that she's a class mare as well, ran on well. Probably 1,100 metres, just a fraction short for her, although she was nice and fresh. Siobhan Spirit was good, but was 5 lengths from the winner. And I think Devil's Tears, a mare that's got plenty of ability, is one we'll put down, was a little bit of a suspect conveyance on that heavy 10.
Race 9, this was the Paul Geard 70th birthday handicap. Of course, Paul is the owner of all the GGs, and he had the champ GG's Black Flash in the race. It was carrying 64 after the 4-kilogram claim for Hayley McCarthy. Loomed up, but was a spent force at the 200 metres, and Streetwise Savoy gave the Bruntons their 5th winner of the day.
He did. He had never won over 1,600 metres before Streetwise Savoir, and I thought he might have been just a fraction suspect. He did look the obvious winner of the race if he ran the distance. He only just ran it, didn't he? Got home by the barest of margins for Molly's Gold, who was a brave second after leading. GG's Black Flash, as you said, the 64 kilos told over the last 150 metres or so. I would imagine they'd be pretty happy with that effort, beating a couple of lengths.
Yeah, having his first run since running 3rd in the Launceston Cup. And the last we saw, Dayton Sign, who's the renowned wet tracker, go around at $12, which was quite a nice price.
Yeah, we did know Dayton Sign liked the wet, and I put this down as the ride of the day from Anthony Darmadden. I thought it was just a 10 out of 10 ride. Race worse than midfield. Cut the corner while some of the others were out wide, and then went to the outside in the home straight and got the money narrowly over Westring Home. It was a very good on-pace effort, and I noticed, I think that was the first ride back for Michael Guthrie. So
it was.
His presence will be welcomed in Tassie over the winter if he can keep his weight in check, because we do have a shortage of experienced senior jockeys.
Yeah, he was down to have 2 rides yesterday, but the other one was scratched, so that was his only ride of the day, and looked a bit of a chance at some stage, Westring Home, but Dayton Sign, as you say, the beautiful ride by Anthony Darmadden, completed a winning double for Anthony and was a gem of a ride. What's your horse to follow from the meeting yesterday?
2 to follow, and I've mentioned them already. Duran, I think, won't be very long winning a race in Tasmania, and GG's Golden Girl.
Yep, all right. I tend to agree with those 2 as horses to follow from yesterday's meeting in Hobart. We race in Launceston next Sunday. That's our next thoroughbred meeting. But there's plenty of harness racing happening, Greg, and we've got 10 events on the program at Devonport tonight, and we've got an 8-event card in Hobart tomorrow night. But just before we look at tonight's meeting, Baringa contested a heat of the Victorian Oaks on Friday night at Melton. Ran 3rd, the Tassie 3-year-old, loomed up, looked a bit of a chance, beaten a couple of metres, but qualified to the final.
I thought that was a super run from a very ordinary draw, and if she gets a better draw in the final, I think she's going to go very close to winning. She's, of course, trained at Corolla by Dick Eaves, who's no stranger to these three-year-old fillies classics on the mainland. Quite a few years ago, he won the New South Wales Oaks with Kanungra Koala. I think this horse is every bit as good as Kanungra Koala. I don't know whether Dick's bothered to compare the 2 yet, or we haven't even asked him, but I think she's right up there. He's got a very big opinion of her, and on that performance, she's going to win a lot of future races.
Yeah, let's hope she has a decent barrier draw next week in the Victorian Oaks final. Tonight, 10 races at Devonport. No doubt you'll be along there, Greg. The highlights of the $30,000 Tasbred four-year-olds, the Maxfield Drilling Raider Stakes, the Adam Brooks Group Granny Smith. So we'll have a look at your selections for the Quadrella races. But, gee, there's some good support races on this program tonight.
It's an excellent program. We've got a couple of $30,000 feature races, our two size stake races, as you mentioned, and I think there's about four $10,000 races on the program as well. So some very good prize money up for grabs. It's only a small track, Devonport, but for people who like to get close to their harness racing action, it's one of the few venues left now where you can stand on the fence and nearly lean over and touch them. So it's a great atmosphere. Take a coat, and it should be a very good night.
First event comes up at 4:57, the last of 10 at 9 o'clock, the Quaddy on 5, 6, 7, 8. We'll look at those in just a moment. Also tonight we've got Bowtie going around at Menangle in the $100,000 Len Smith Mile. That's at 5:17. He's probably going to be about $1.40 favourite. Just flying this horse this season, 13 starts for 11 wins, and as we know, taking all before him at the present time.
I don't know whether we'll even get the $1.40 colonies. Very, very cramped odds with some of the fixed odds markets, but yeah, very, well, he's a great horse, isn't he? And if he wins this race, interestingly enough, Kevin Nielsen has pointed out to us that he will become the highest earning Tasmanian bred standard bred of all time. He'll go past the $1.3 million earned by Thorate, of course, who won a million races and entered the Dominion, and he will take his stake money up to a bit over $1.3 million. The highest earning harness horse from Tasmania was Flashing Red, but he wasn't bred here, so he won over $2 million. But it's been a great effort by Bowtie, and of course, in harness racing terms, he's still only a relatively young horse.
That's right, and I was talking to Kevin about this, actually, because they're just comparing prize money, and back in the day when Thorate was winning his races compared to what it's like now with Bowtie winning races, the prize money is probably about double, so if you compare what Thorate won, that's a magnificent effort. He'd probably have about $2.5 million in the bank if he was racing today.
Oh, look, he was a fantastic horse, Thorate. I think he actually won more than 100 races, which is an enormous effort in anyone's terms. And it was 20 years ago, so yeah, 24 years ago actually, that he won the Inter Dominion. So yeah, you've got to put that in perspective, don't you?
Alrighty, let's get your selections, Greg, for this harness meeting at Devonport. We'll look at the Quaddy races and the Raider Stakes final. Race 5 kicks it off.
Highlight of the night, four runners from the Barry Rattray stable, 30,000 up for grabs. He's got the two standouts in the market, Pachacuti. This is a very good horse. He's drawn the second line. He's won two races from two starts since returning from New South Wales. Prior to that, he'd had four runs since a spell up there with James Rattray for just one minor placing. But last season, he was the standout three-year-old in Tasmania. He won the Globe Derby, our size stake race. He won a semi-final of the Breeders' Crown at Ballarat. And, of course, he ran second to Bit of a Legend in the final at Melton, a $175,000 race. So he's starting to get back to that form, I think, in despite the second row draw. If he gets any sort of luck early and gets a reasonable run through, I think he's the one to beat. Just ahead of his stablemate, Devendra, who's won the Burnie, Carrick and Devonport Cups this season. He ran third in the four-year-old Classic. His only failure was a last in the Governor's Cup, but he had a flat tyre and was eased down. And he did run second in his Raider Stakes heat, which was very slowly run, and it probably didn't suit him. But drawn perfectly here in Barrier 2, he'll either lead or sit outside Riverboat Jasper, the pole marker, and be very hard to beat. So here's my second pick, Riverboat Jasper for third, and another of the Rat Race team, Diva's Delight, nicely drawn in Barrier 3 for Adrian Collins. I think it'll run a reasonable race as well, but the class runners are 9 and 2.
And as Barry Rattray driving Devendra, Barry doesn't drive too often these days.
He doesn't. He was telling me recently he's just got to go around occasionally to keep his ticket.
Okay. The Ulverston Cup is race 6, second leg of the Quaddy.
Ulverston Cup was a great race when it was run at Ulverston. It doesn't have quite as much significance these days, but this is a nice field. I think number 8, Falco Peregrinus, picks himself despite a 10-metre handicap on a tight track. He was a runner-up in the Easter Cup last week behind Motu Crusader. Prior to that, he ran a place in the heat, and prior to that, he was an enormous run to win at Carrick. So he's only got to get a little bit of luck from his 10-metre mark to win the race. He's had two starts at Devonport and been placed both times. I think he's clearly the one to beat. To Sanzo, a very good mare, nicely drawn on the pole later on, a class act, but has to come off 30 metres. And Spot 9, the Hobart Cup winner from earlier in the year, is off 20. I think they might top 4, 8, 1, 10, 9.
Ulverston Cup in 1980. Greg was the first race meeting I called in Tasmania.
It was a tight little track, Ulverston, wasn't it?
It was a saucer.
The best place to watch them was from on the home turn and just stand up against the fence, because you could almost see the look of terror in the drivers' faces as they came to the corner, 4 and 5 abreast.
Was it 600 metres?
Probably 600 metres. Yeah, very tight track.
Mm. The Max McCormick, race 7. Max is a wonderful harness racing stalwart, particularly for the Devonport Club. This race named in his honour, the third leg of the Quaddy.
Yeah, long-time secretary of the club, Max, and he still goes to the races occasionally. I thought the first starter might be hard to beat here. Number 1, Hustler Halo, trained by Berinya's trainer Dick Eves, drawn the pole, beautifully bred horse. He's by Henry Halo, a Tasmanian. He won 20 races, Henry Halo. Don't know how he would go as a sire, but he was a great horse out of Lindy's Hanover. It's a very good family, narrowly beaten in a Carrick trial a week or two ago. I think from the pole, it could be hard to beat for Troy Hillier here, Hustler Halo. Ectorus, one of the Rattray team, outside the second row, makes it difficult but has been consistent. Smart Fraulein is a handy mare resuming, and My Coda Casper's put in a couple of good runs since his spell. But I think just think that the one might be the way to go here, the first starter. 1, 11, 8, 9.
Final leg of the quarter is the Granny Smith, a $30,000 race for the mares, race 8.
Rowan Hillier, who drove Berinya, has got his own mare in this Nola Mayhem, and courtesy of the pole draw, she's certainly the one to beat. She'll be a pretty short price favourite, having drawn the pole. She couldn't beat LJ's Magic in the prelude at Mowbray last week, but that's when they drew the other way around. LJ's Magic led, and Nola Mayhem sat second. Rowan was saying during the week he was just a little bit disappointed with Nola Mayhem's run on that occasion, but he thinks he will have her much better for tonight's race, and the pole is just a huge advantage at Devonport. She's got enough speed to hold the lead, and she'll be the one to beat. Just ahead of LJ's Magic, Grant Hodges has this mare right back to her best, and they do look the standout two chances in the race. Skymaker, lightly raced, showing promise, is the next best, and Delightful Lily, who's won a stack of races but had only the one run since the spell, and it was just a fair run in the prelude and has drawn an awkward barrier, so she's probably got the job in front of her, but she has been a very nice mare. 1, 2, 4, 5.
And have you got a best bet for us?
Yeah, I think the best bet comes up early. Get there in time for the 4:57 race 1. It is number 2 These Days.
Righto, race 1, number 2, with Kate McLeod in the sulky. As mentioned, an 8-event program tomorrow night in Hobart. Next weekend, we've got the Bullet Consulting Youngbloods Series 2 heats at Hobart on Sunday, and then more at Devonport on the following Monday.
Yeah, it's a good concept, the Youngbloods. It gives 10 of our drivers, young drivers, a chance to have a go in a couple of races at each meeting, and I believe that's... Well, they would still be penalty-free races, so that owners and trainers can run their horses and not cop that penalty. So it's a good series, and it's been won by some of our very best young drivers.
Mm. Greg, enjoy the very good night of harness racing at Devonport tonight.
Thanks, Colin. Talk to you next week.
Yep, Greg Mansfield joining us. That is the Harness Edge and also Tasmanian Turf Talk, and we'll be back at the same time next Sunday morning. Look forward to your company then.
Listening to Tasmanian Turf Talk with Colin McNiff and Greg Mansfield, proudly supported by Tas Racing.